The network children ask for by name. The Defenestrate Media Network.
What happens when mixtapes meet memes? This is Gen Zex. Join JM Bell and Braxton Bunnell as they break down the news, music, movies, trends, and moments that shape Gen X and the world Gen Z is creating right now. We're judging the worlds that raised us, from landlines to smartphones. This is Gen Zex, the culture that was versus the culture that's trending.
You are listening to the world's greatest multi-generational pop culture podcast, Gen Zex, which, by the way, is G-E-N-Z-X. And you can find that at theleftshow.com. We just have a hosting problem, and so everything goes on the Left Show right now. It's a money issue, which, you know, I obviously am not afraid to talk about, but we need to move to a new host because we're at our file limit. And so I spend a good hour a week going in and just deleting older things to make room for the new files kind of thing. And I found a new host that's cheaper and has a lot more storage, which is very important, apparently. And the problem is that they want a year up front. And if I buy 3 years up front, it's dirt cheap. But 3 years at dirt cheap is expensive. So if you want to help out with that and you would like these to be a little separated and easier to find, you, by the way, can go to theleftshow.com, click on any of the donate links we have there. There's all sorts of ways to give. There's GoFundMe is always open. Venmo, Cash App, PayPal. Hand me cash on the street. I don't care.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Carrier even.
Yeah. So a couple of things. Have you seen The Odyssey yet?
No, I have not. I'm so far behind on seeing new movies. I have finally gotten my friends together later today to watch Backrooms, which I have been very excited for.
Backrooms? What's that about? Is that a horror movie?
Oh, yeah. So it's based on this. It was originally a 4chan post from 2019 that just kind of talked about this like liminal space. The idea was basically like, if you step weird, you can no clip out of reality and you fall into this endlessly spanning space of just faded yellow hallways with like humming fluorescent lights. And this guy named, he goes by Kane Pixels on YouTube, but his name's Kane Parsons. He took that and ran with it and created this whole YouTube series and added all this lore and this like fictional company that's investigating the Backrooms and how they're trying to use it as a solution to storage and housing because it's just infinite space, but it's also inhabited by like monsters. And there's some lore that the Backrooms actually like take your memories and that's what it's replicating infinitely. But it was a whole YouTube series, and then he got funding to make an actual movie for it. So
I love that story. That's great. That's how we get new shit.
Yeah.
It
looks so cool. I've been wanting to see it forever, but I don't like watching movies alone. And so I've got my friends together. We're going to watch it tonight.
I'm excited by the idea of an original whatever, even if it came from somewhere as dirty as 4chan. And you know, 99.9% of that site is just poison. But when I'm also excited because a friend of mine sent a gift certificate to the Cinemark this week, and So I got tickets to go see Spider-Man.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So I'm going to go see that tomorrow, Thursday, in a very, very crowded theater. I'm not used to theaters being crowded for debuts here very often. You know,
I think the last time I went to a crowded debut was for Infinity War.
Mine was the first Avengers.
Okay.
And it was packed and we were down in front and I hated it. And then, you know, when people would have like their work would, you know, rent out a theater for a movie, those were always crowded type of thing. And, you know, I mean, so that's just how that goes. But it's I'm excited to see it. But I was excited to see The Odyssey. And so what I'll tell you is do see it on an IMAX screen.
Okay.
I know that I missed out on some of the grandeur. It was a good movie. It was a solid movie. And the way that I broke it down over on the comic book show this week was everybody in it was really good. Elliot Page was spectacular. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, I'm a frothy mouth trans activist. It's he was in and don't give me shit about spoilers. It's a 3,000-year-old poem.
If you haven't seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou by now.
Oh, that yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So the part in Hades was chilling, like goosebump chilling. It was so good. And I really want Tiffany to see it, even though it's, you know, 3 hours and some odd minutes and she doesn't sit still very long, you know, because of the seizures and everything anymore. So we're probably going to end up streaming that, but I would desperately like to see it again on IMAX. I'm just not in a position to pay that much money. I mean, just looking for tickets, for, you know, Spider-Man, the XD screen, the oversized screen. The We Want to Be IMAX screen.
Yeah, it's got the like wraparound on the side.
No, not that one. Just a bigger screen that's off brand. It's like Timu IMAX.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because I do not care for those wraparounds.
Yeah, I saw Godzilla Minus One in like a kind of wraparound.
Yeah.
Where they were projecting it on the walls too.
Yeah.
And it was a cool novelty for the first like half hour, and then I just got kind of sick of having to look at the wall to see where Godzilla was.
Yeah, mine was the first time we did a wraparound. It was it was a Harley Quinn movie with the Birds of Prey. Yeah, and I'm like, okay, this is fine. Okay, this is fine. You're projecting on a carpet wall that is not meant to be projected on, and I don't care for it. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was like, it's the same thing as like D-Box. It's an uncomfortable chair that wiggles while you watch a movie. And it may have been the movie that we saw was the second Hobbit movie.
Mm.
And we got D-Box tickets to that. And for the most part, it was just a weird, randomly vibrating chair, and then you get into that scene with all the spiders, and suddenly the chair's all whoa, and I was like, this is great, and then the rest of the movie was just vibrating chair again, and it was uncomfortable. They're uncomfortable chairs. They need to put them in more comfortable chairs. Maybe they have. It's been obviously a minute since I've sat in one.
Yeah, I think my biggest issue with the wraparound screen on Godzilla was they only projected on the walls for some of the movie.
Yeah.
Why? Like, that was just so jarring every time it would turn off. Like, don't get me wrong, I absolutely loved Godzilla Minus One. It is possibly one of my favorite Godzilla movies. And I made the absolute right choice in seeing that in the theater.
Yeah.
But had I done it again, or could I do it again, I would not have chosen the wraparound theater. I would have just chosen the normal one.
Yeah. Yeah. But, oh, yeah, yeah. So the XD tickets are like $26 each. for Spider-Man on Thursday. And
That's not cheap.
No, and the standard format's $13 each. So obviously we're seeing it standard format. I don't care. I like 16 by 9. It doesn't bother me.
No, there's a reason that we've used it for this long.
Yeah.
It looks good.
But, yeah, the 70 millimeter IMAX films should be seen on IMAX. You know? So, I mean, that's just in my humble opinion. I should have. If I had had more gift certificates, then I would have watched it. I would have watched it on an XD screen, on a big screen, on an IMAX, The Odyssey. But I didn't. I only had enough money for the cheap ticket. That's it. Yeah. You know, available for work, folks. If your company has a marketing department and they're looking for anybody at pretty much any entry level, let me know. That'd be nice. So let's do this. Let's travel to the week of December 5th, 1980 for a movie that just annoyed the hell out of my father. My dad was a man that was full of silliness and whimsy, but his consumption of popular media was very serious. Right? And I mean, I remember we took him to, he took us, I guess, because he was paying for it. He took us, the me and my little brother, to Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And he made it about 5 minutes, and then he fell asleep, slept through the entire thing. And that's a loud-ass movie. And he
A very loud movie.
He just slept through it and then woke up when it was done. And he was fine with that, you know? So, leaders from seven Warsaw Pact nations met in an emergency session in Moscow on December 5th, 1980, to address escalating political tensions and labor unrest in Poland. U.S. financial markets saw gold prices fall in New York, while silver posted gains in London, alongside ongoing discussions regarding Social Security solvency and corporate restructuring. You know, just like now, Republicans have been trying to take our Social Security away since Reagan.
Yay.
Kenny Rogers' single, Lady, held the number one spot in the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 charts, marking a multi-week run at the top. John Lennon and Yoko Ono gave extensive interviews promoting their Double Fantasy album just days before John Lennon was fatally shot outside the Dakota in New York City on December 8th. And the big-budget space opera film Flash Gordon, directed by Mike Hodges, featuring a soundtrack by fucking Queen, premiered in theaters to an underwhelming audience.
Very disappointing to hear that the audience was underwhelming, because I really like this movie.
Had you seen it before?
Yes. Yeah, I had seen it before. I saw it for the first time in my buddy's basement in high school. We went through this phase where we were just watching like old cheesy action movies. And so it was, my favorites of that era were this one and Buckaroo Banzai, Across the Eighth Dimension.
Such a good, weird movie.
Mm-hmm.
Such a good, weird movie. This one starred Sam J. Jones as Flash Gordon. We met Sam Jones at one of the Salt Lake Comic Cons before they were forced to change their name for being dipshits. And he was exactly as advertised. He was big, he was brash, he was loud, but he was so fucking friendly. He was such a nice guy. I got a picture with him somewhere I'll have to find. But as Flash Gordon, and I had loved as a kid, we've talked about it before, how my parents used to just drop us off at the movie theater on a random weekday. And for $5, you could get a thing of popcorn and watch three movies. And I think we talked about it during one of the Godzilla films, because that's where I fell in love with the Godzilla films.
Yeah.
And you know, they also had the old Flash Gordon serials. And I just loved them. So I was really, really excited about this movie. I was, what, coming on to 9 years old? I was 9 years old. And I really wanted to see it. And I talked my dad into it. And we went and saw it. And my dad did not care for it. I'm guessing because of the soundtrack. My dad was musically illiterate. He listened to talk radio. He listened to books on tape. And he listened to scripture. That's what dad listened to. Mm. That was his media consumption. So you got Sam Jones as Flash Gordon. You got Max von Sydow as Ming the Merciless, Emperor Ming.
It was, I touch on a very small thing with Max von Sydow.
Yeah,
I had not seen this movie when I had watched The Seventh Seal.
Ooh.
And so my first Max von Sydow was The Seventh Seal. And so it was very strange to see him in this after seeing The Seventh Seal, which is just ridiculously grim and dark and just about how we can't escape death.
It's always fun when somebody pops up and plays a role that feels weird for them. It's, you know, it's Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Very serious, staunch actor. You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, there he is playing a fucking Jedi Knight. And so, you know, it's Frank Langella as Skeletor in the early Masters of the Universe, which I also want to talk to you about because I saw that on Prime the other day. You had Melody Anderson as Dale Arden. She was fine. You know, she acted the part of the damsel in distress well, even when she wasn't being a damsel in distress. It was great. You had Timothy Dalton as Prince Baron. Timothy Dalton. Love that guy. You know, what was it? Hot Fuzz? I still think is his best role.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hot Fuzz is such an amazing movie. Was he in the new Doom Patrol? The new Doom Patrol series?
Yeah, he was. He was great. I'm behind on that one. Nobody but me liked it at the old place. So I just, I just stopped watching it. And I need to get caught up on it. I need to watch the last season still. Brian Blessed. Oh, I love Brian Blessed. That dude is so fucking loud. He was wonderful. He played the Prince Voltan.
Yeah, he was the Gordon's alive.
Yep. More like Gordon's alive.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You put Brian Blessed in anything, and I was just enamored. I just fucking love the guy. You had Ornella Moody as Princess Aura. An early stirring of attention from me, you know, I was 9, but I knew what I liked. And she was ridiculously pretty in that movie. So little known facts about this. All of the main cast members were signed for multiple films, but since it bombed in the box office, no sequels were ever made. Von Sydow's costume as Ming weighed over 70 pounds, so they could only shoot in small segments because he couldn't stand the weight. He was too old.
I love, because it, that costume looks heavy.
Yeah.
Like, it's just got all this, like, ornate metal on it. Like, it looks like it weighs 70 pounds. That's how it was with the 54 Godzilla suit. It was made out of old tire rubber. So the gentleman who was in the suit could only wear it for about 5 minutes at a time or he would get heat stroke.
Dino De Laurentiis was the producer. Dino De Laurentiis, if you don't know, if you've ever seen a Conan film, that's about the speed of what Dino De Laurentiis did. You know?
Okay, I mean, the tracks, I love the Conan movies.
Oh, yeah. No, Dino De Laurentiis made some of my favorite films. And now that we're saying his name out loud, there's a pretty good chance that we're gonna hit him a little bit more often. But I did decide, by the way, just as an aside, I don't need to live in the 80s. There was a lot of shit that happened in the 90s that still had a huge impact on me. And as far as I'm concerned, at my current age, I was still a child in the 90s. So,
yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's why, I mean, we're going back to 2016 for mine. I would have been 17. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Still a young pup. Mm-hmm. So there's a scene in the movie where Dale Arden turns into a giant spider, right? During a dream sequence. And Melody Anderson spent 6 hours getting painted green, wearing fake eyes. They put fangs on her and a headpiece that weighed more than 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. And when the director came in, he's like, "This is wonderful, but we can't use it. It's got not fuck all to do with the script." And Sam Jones didn't have blonde hair.
Okay.
Yeah, they had to bleach his hair. And Melody Anderson had blonde hair, and they dyed hers brown. Mm-hmm. But Sam Jones also couldn't wear contact lenses, so his eyes were the wrong color for the whole movie. Little things, little persnickety things that we comic book fans tend to notice, you know? And so that's it. So this movie introduced me as a 9-year-old to Queen, especially the main title song, you know, Flash, Savior of the Universe. Bum, bum,
bum, bum, bum, bum. So iconic.
So good. That when they did Highlander, which I didn't see until I was in my teens, you know, it was comfortable. Whereas, you know, Queen, their stuff is pretty on the nose. We are the princes of the universe, which is funny because they used the song from Highlander, Princes of the Universe, in Masters of the Universe. And they used it so artfully that I clapped. I was sitting in my room watching this on the bedroom TV, and I've got Tiffany next to me with her headphones on watching WNBA on her laptop, and this scene happens and that song starts to play, and I start clapping. I'm like, yay, yay, yay. Let me tell you what, man, I grew up with He-Man and the Masters of the Universe as in its original release as a cartoon, and I loved it. I wanted a battle cat named Gringer. I loved it. We used to grab sticks and scream that we also had the power.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember doing that as a kid.
Yep. So this movie was so joyfully silly. And the one thing I'll give away is all of the weird names for the characters, you know, like Fisto and Ram Man and all that, were throwbacks to nicknames that He-Man had in his head because he didn't know their real names. And that's why they have such dumbass names. That's and I was really like, funny. That's fucking perfect. And then, and I'm gonna tee this up and then I'm gonna punch it in the nose. Mm-hmm. Jared Leto as Skeletor was literally some of his best work.
Okay. I would posit that's not a high bar.
Well, he has won an Academy Award.
Okay.
Was it Texas Buyers Club, I think?
Dallas Buyers Club.
Dallas Buyers Club.
I think so.
I think that's what it was. And that, I remember, was really good, too. And then everything else is all just kind of thing. And then we find out this week that 4 women have come forward this week to accuse him of sexual assault.
Yeah, not shocking. I had been hearing rumblings and rumors for years that he was kind of a weird guy. Mm-hmm. And that you didn't really want to be alone with him.
I think I'd be okay.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like this is why we can't have nice things, is because guys like this exist.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And
that's why we can't enjoy anything anymore.
No, because
nothing can be fun.
And that was it. And it's like, I'm feeling all this just joyful nostalgia about this stupid fucking movie. And then I read that article and I was like, well, God damn it. That piece of shit. I hope he gets shivved in prison. You know?
It's so true, yeah.
It's just, it's infuriating. Because, you know, you do the thing. It's, yeah, it's not all men, but it's always men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's... Not every man is a bad person, but, you know, we are the problem.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's, that just really pissed me off. But, Flash Gordon, if you haven't seen it, know that it is silly. It's very campy. But it has some of the greatest one-liners in any campy movie.
Oh, it really does. There are still, like, to this day, I will still say Gordon's alive to myself just while I'm walking around the apartment.
What was the line? Flash, Flash, I love you, but we only have 14 hours to save the Earth.
Yes.
It's so bad. I mean, it was just... I understand why it flopped. The 9-year-old that still lives inside me loved the movie. You know, the guy that's at whatever age I'm at now still loves the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I watch this movie about once every 2 years. Just because. It brings me joy. And Tiffany's never seen it. And I really, really wanted her to watch it. But instead, she was having a seizure flare up. And could not be bothered with my nostalgia. My nostalgia, I believe, is the only time she even briefly considers whether or not she may have made a terrible mistake. That, and every time I'm in charge of the Spotify, we go to 80s New Wave, which I know she doesn't care for. But I want something comfortable. And so I do that. Well, let's do this, buddy. Let's take a break. When we're back on the other side, we'll travel to 2016.
Yeah, I'm excited.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from the left show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life and a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Google the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
We don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
Hey folks, Jeff here. So, you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic. It's not about the software. And it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You could find more information at theleftshow.com. Okay, so in the commercial break, we were just kind of shooting the shit for a minute, and you brought up that you went and saw Speed Racer recently.
Yeah, it was, I think it was like 2 months ago.
Okay.
They did a 4K re-release in IMAX, and my friend Kat, it's one of her favorite movies, and her wife had a migraine and didn't want to go, and so I went with her. And the theater was very empty, but that movie is so just years ahead of its time. The visuals are amazing. It feels like the whole movie is such a cliche to say, but it feels like an acid trip. It's nuts.
Okay.
It's got these just cool little, like, there's like a kung fu scene where it's cut together like an older kung fu movie, but it also pays homage to the original cartoon. It's just so cool. You could tell that the Wachowskis got this blank check after doing The Matrix to make Speed Racer 2.
Oh, yeah.
Or to make Speed Racer.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I could give them another blank check, I would have them make Speed Racer 2 and have it be like I would want them to do it kind of like Logan and have Speed be old and getting ready to pass the torch.
Oh, there you go. Well, it's available to stream for $5.99. So I will not be watching it anytime soon.
I will send you $7 to the transfer fee so you can watch it.
I don't understand rentals like that. It's like, I'm already paying you for this fucking service and then you want me to pay twice?
I'll do it occasionally. Like when I'm like hanging out with my friends, if we want to watch a movie, we'll rent one for like $5.
That's fun.
Because if I'm going to own a movie, I want to own it physically so nobody can take it from me.
Yeah. I got my beloved landlords, who I will state again for the record, are two of history's greatest people in the world.
Absolutely, 100% agree.
Yeah, left.
Also knowing them, they are just the most delightful people you will ever meet.
I know. I love them. I do. When I win the lottery, they get half. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when they left the place that we're renting, they left a closet full of DVDs. Mm-hmm. And it is fun to go in there like a lending library and just pull something fun out to watch that's not available for streaming.
Yeah.
And of course, because they're wonderful people, our tastes align quite well. Mm-hmm. And that's one. I'm going to have to go and look and see if Speed Racer's in there now that I think about it.
It might be. Yeah. Knowing those two, it probably is.
Yeah. Yeah, I just got to look. Yeah. There's a bunch of shit in the way right now, and I gotta empty it and then look and then put it back.
There's a very fun DVD store that I went to with Kat.
Mm-hmm.
Last week. They were supposed to be having a sale where all the DVDs were 25 cents,
uh-huh.
But that sale was not going on. So all the DVDs were a dollar.
Oh, that's not so bad.
No, I made out like a bandit. I got like 15 DVDs and then a Criterion for $12, but I got all the first five, original Star Trek movies and then the two, ones from the 2010s.
We will be talking about Star Trek V at some point because it is still my favorite of the original series movies.
Oh, I'm excited to talk about it. I've been in a very much a Star Trek mood lately. I started watching Strange New Worlds again.
You delight me, sir. Isn't it wonderful?
I have made it to the musical episode.
Isn't it wonderful?
It's so good. Oh. It's so fun.
And it's just, they're so serious.
Oh, yeah. It's, I feel like that's one of the things that I really loved about that episode is just, it's this such an absurd premise and it is played completely straight.
Yep. What's her name? Christina Chong, who plays Noonien Sung, was a revelation as a singer.
Oh yeah.
Her whole, and that is a long, I'm a former musician, as it were, pre-arthritis, and just tracking the beats of that song, I'm like, that is a really rough song to sing. That'd be very difficult. That, you know, it is not a fuck around song. And and she just nailed it. And Spock being able to sing, I'm here for it. I am here for it. Wait till you get to episode 1 of season 4 that just came out last week.
Okay.
Wonderful. Just wonderful.
Yeah, trying to remember what
so my... good it should have been 2 episodes.
Okay. I'm trying to remember what my favorite episode has been so far. I think it was one of the last episodes of season 1. The last one, A Quality of Mercy.
Yes.
So amazing. Of just Pike having to, I don't know. Can we do spoilers for season 1?
Yeah.
Okay. Having Pike figure out that it's like he has to let go and accept his fate to save other people.
It's, and having himself show up to tell him wearing the red meanie.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's modernized like the show does. And that's the first time. I mean, I like the red meanie. I think it's a fun uniform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I enjoyed it through all the TOS episodes. I enjoyed it in TNG when Kelsey Grammer showed up in it. And, you know, so I like that uniform. But you put all those leather accents with patterns and shit on them the way they did. I was just like, that's glorious. That is a beautiful fucking uniform.
Yeah, and then I have loved all of season 2 so far, like Ad Astra Per Aspera, Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow.
Yep.
The Lower Decks episode. Those old scientists.
Yeah, wasn't that good?
So awesome. Okay, I see why you've been trying to get me to watch this show forever.
Have you watched Lower Decks?
I've watched, I believe, the first season.
It just gets better and better.
I really liking it.
Yeah, it just gets better and better.
Okay.
And the fact
I'll get to Lower Decks after I do Stranger Worlds, because if I start Lower Decks now, I'm not going to finish Stranger. I'm not going to get caught up with Stranger Worlds.
No. No, you won't. It is goofy, wild, wacky Star Trek, and yet it's still really true, you know, to the base concepts. I'm sure Roddenberry would have hated it. But I can statistically say that he would be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He would be wrong because it is such a fun romp. I like the whole show. I like all New Trek. I like it. I love it all. I've had one issue with New Trek, and that was in Discovery when they find out that every warp core across the galaxy blew up for a dumb reason. I don't know if you've seen it or not, so I won't ruin it for you because someday you'll watch it, but
I have not. I'm holding on to this Star Trek mood, and I'm going to use it to get through New Trek.
Yeah.
As much as I can hold on to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a whole season. It is a brilliant fucking season. And then in the last 2 minutes, you're like, wait, what? Really?
Huh. Mm. Okay.
So, I don't know. But okay. Why don't you tell me what you want to tell me?
Yes, I would like to go back to 2016.
Outstanding.
Egyptian Air Flight 804 crashed into the Mediterranean Sea en route from Paris to Cairo on May 19th, killing all 66 people on board.
I was about to say, I remember that, but it was like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. A three-year-old boy fell into the gorilla enclosure at the Cincinnati Zoo on May 28th, resulting in the fatal shooting of Harambe,
which,
a western lowland gorilla.
Which destroyed the fabric of reality, and yes, life has been fucking miserable since.
Yes, it pushed us into the wrong timeline.
Yep. Yep.
Ukraine's entrant Jamala won the Eurovision Song Contest in 2016 Stockholm with her song 1944.
Do you know how badly I wish that Eurovision was available to watch here?
Oh, so bad. I would love to watch some Eurovision stuff.
Yeah.
Top movies for May of 2016 included Captain America: Civil War, X-Men Apocalypse, and The Angry Birds Movie, which I did not know made $74 million through May.
2016 was also Batman v Superman, which was embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, I was running a campaign that actually had money, and we were getting ready for the primary, and so I rented out theaters from St. George to Logan.
You told me this.
Yep. And I bought a domain called Be a Batman, to where, you know, people could, you know, and we gave tickets to delegates, and you know, it was this huge thing, and I was so fucking excited. And I started south. I was down in Utah Valley and had timed it so that I could greet people at each theater, you know, as I moved up the valley until I got to the gateway, which is where I was going to watch it. And I went to like six different theaters, and then finally ended up at Gateway and sat down, and it started, and I was really good. And then it ended, and I was like, I fucked up. Oh my God, I have fucked up. This movie is not good.
Bleed?
You know, it's got some really good elements in it. And unlike some of my friends, I can watch it again. I don't hate it, but it should have been good.
I watched that movie, and I can see the writers that were desperately clawing for attention because they had a good idea. And then they were, you know, that idea was smothered with a pillow 5 minutes later.
Yes.
To make room for some other horse shit.
Yep. Okay, carry on. I interrupted. I digress.
Oh, you're fine. I apologize. Top songs of May 2016 included One Dance by Drake, Can't Stop This Feeling by Justin Timberlake, and Panda by Designer, which we have talked about.
I listened to it and was like, I do not remember this song.
Okay. It was on every single radio station. I remember it was very big in my high school. It was a big meme song for a while.
Okay.
Where people would play it to be kind of like ironic or funny. And it was never really funny. But in May of 2016... released possibly one of my top five video games of all time, and that is the 2016 reboot of Doom, which is just such a lovingly crafted and tightly controlled game that I don't understand how they upped it for Doom Eternal, and I don't think we'll ever get to that level again. Like, Doom, don't get me wrong, Doom the Dark Ages was awesome.
I still need that.
It was good. It was really good. It was fun. It was just kind of a cool romp. The mech fights were really fun. But it was just the Doom Eternal engine. They were just reusing the Doom Eternal engine, which is fine. I mean, it was a $50 game.
It's a $70 game right now.
Oh, was it $70?
Yeah.
I think I bought it on sale then. But I know they're doing DLC for it. But this game did something very cool that I'm not sure you know about. Do you know about the Doom comic?
No.
So there was a one-shot comic for Doom that was released in 1996, and it was just called Doom. And it was meant to tell the story of the very first Doom game, because, you know, that game didn't really have a story because it was four pixels.
Yeah, I remember. I played the fuck out of that game.
Oh, me too. literally every new phone I get, one of the first things I do is install Doom on it.
Nice.
But there was a Doom comic, and the Doom comic was garbage. It was bad. Because it was just so cheesy and campy. But there was this scene in it where the Doom guy gets the Berserker Rage and he sees the Cyber Demon. And he just starts saying, rip and tear. Well, I've got the panel right here. Rip and tear your guts. You have huge. That means you have huge guts.
Good dialogue.
Yeah. But the 2016 Doom game took that line and made it something really cool. Because the game opens with they're drawing the Slayer's mark on the screen. And you get who you later find out is the Seraphim narrating. And he says, they are rage, brutal, you are without mercy, but you will be worse, rip and tear until it is done. And then you get into the game, and you've played the 2016 Doom.
Yeah, right? I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, I remember this. This was fun.
So you get into this game, and it starts, and it does not let up.
No.
There are, like, two sections where... You are, I guess there's a couple sections where there's no combat, but for most of them, you're locked into kind of like a cutscene. I think the only real section without combat is when you're meeting Samuel Hayden for the first time in his office.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's no combat. You just go in and out. But this was also, I feel, one of the first Doom games to have a cool story, because Doom 3 had a story and I didn't care for it. Because it was just kind of weird.
Yeah.
This one was also weird, but it made sense. We're using hell for its infinite energy. Which, you know, hard to say if the US if we had access to hell that we wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no, we would.
No, I could see a White House ballroom powered by Argent energy. But they're pulling energy out of hell on Mars. And then, you know, demons break loose, because demons always break loose. You open a portal to hell and demons came out and you're shocked. We've been doing this for, you know, 5 Doom games.
Yes.
And every one of them, the demons come out of the portal.
We just don't. It's like Jurassic Park. We just don't learn our fucking lesson.
No, we never learned. And that's because I believe in this game, humanity doesn't really have to learn a lesson, because the Slayer is there to save them.
Yeah.
And I love how in... talk about Doom Eternal just a little bit. In Doom Eternal and some of the audio logs... Did you ever play that one?
That doesn't sound familiar.
It was the one, final boss was the big icon of sin. You went through, starts you out on Earth, then you go to the cultist base in the Arctic.
Huh. It doesn't sound familiar. What's it called again?
Doom Eternal. It's the direct sequel.
Oh, Doom Eternal. No, I have not played Doom Eternal.
Okay. I would say that the combat in Doom Eternal is just better. It's so slick, and the weapon switching is so fast, and there's power-ups everywhere, and the movement is insane, and you get a shotgun with a tethering hook that you can shoot into enemies and then fly towards them, and then you can get an upgrade that makes that hook light the enemies on fire. It's Doom is one of those games that very firmly sits in the hell yeah,
okay,
center of my mind, which is just I replay Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal once a year without fail, because they make me happy.
I have played it. The last time I played it was in 2020.
Okay, so that would have been around release.
Yeah, I have no memory of other than running around killing bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
So the stories in Doom have never stuck with me. So I'm just more like, can I just kill now, please?
No, what was, I think it was John Carmack, who was one of the original creators of the first Doom game. I believe he said that story in a video game is like story in a porn. It's expected to be there, but it's not the main event.
Oh, that's fair.
And I, you know, to a degree, I can agree. I think some of the greatest video games ever made have been strictly story games. But, you know, he made one of the most successful Doom franchise, or one of the most successful franchises of all time. So what the fuck do I know?
Yeah, fair.
It's, you know, he literally invented a new engine to run this, to make this game. Like, he's insane. If you, I'll have to get it to you sometime. I have a very good book called Masters of Doom that's about John Carmack and John Romero.
Okay.
And the making of this game. Or this franchise. But I don't know. I don't have a ton to say about this game. It's very important to me because it came around right towards the end of high school. And so I think for a lot of the media I consumed around that time, that's just kind of the stuff that stuck with me.
Yeah.
And so whenever I'm having a bad time, I'll pop in Doom and I'll play through Doom, and I can pretty reliably get through the game in 1 to 2 sittings.
Yeah. Mine is Portal 2.
Mm-hmm.
That's one I always go to. I have had, like, a few years back, Tiffany went out of town for a week, and I couldn't decide what the fuck to watch on TV, so I reinstalled Skyrim mm-hmm. and played through in a couple of days to level 50. You know, because that's way easier. And with that one, that was the first time I played with mods.
And
was just like lost my shit. Stacked so many mods, the game wouldn't play. I had to go back and take some out.
That's fair. I've done that before. I have affectionately described modding New Vegas as pole starting a lawnmower.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the they've been talking. You know what? Let's carry that over to Patreon.
Yeah, we're going to paywall this content.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening this week. If you enjoy what you hear, we're also going to continue the discussion over on Patreon at patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. Every week that we record special content just for our Patreon family. It's a great way to help out the podcast. It's a great way to help us pay for hosting. That's what we use the money for. So if you've got a few minutes that you'd like to burn and you got 10 bucks in your pocket that you don't mind spending, Patreon is the place to go.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Anyway, Braxton, thank you. This is, as always, a delight.
Yeah, always one of the best parts of my week.
Outstanding. Outstanding. All right, buddy. I'll see you next week.
We'll see you.
Did you like the show? Join JM and Braxton on Patreon. Patreon.com/defendmedia. Each week they record, they upload additional content exclusively for the Patreon family. Patreon.com/defendmedia.